You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Page to Stage,
a conversation with theater makers.
We're your hosts.
That's Brian.
That's Mary.
To put it simply, we're both theater nerds.
So let's pull back the curtain and get a glimpse at the artist's process while creating their art.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
And guys, we're so excited.
Because we're starting a podcast.
Ah, I can't believe it. We both are avid fans.
We're big podcast listeners.
In general, anything. I started with true crime, and now I'm kind of just listening to a lot of different genres.
And I started with theater podcasts.
Brian and I talked maybe a month ago, and we decided that
we're going to do a podcast together.
Because why not?
And when we were deciding what we want to do, we decided it has to be about theater because that's what we're both interested in. But we wanted to hit some topics that maybe other podcasts that we normally listen to that are already out there don't cover.
And also chatting with people who maybe aren't being represented podcasts already.
Like right now, the podcasts that I listen to, a lot of them are just interviews with other actors talking about acting and
how they became actors. And there's nothing wrong with that, because we definitely are interviewing actors.
We're going to do that too, so I'm not subtweeting our own podcast. But we want to hear from stage managers and playwrights.
And producers and designers.
And so many other people that normally aren't represented in the podcast realm.
But first, we want to introduce ourselves to you guys.
It's kind of like a mini podcast interview of each other.
Exactly, because if we're going to be your co-hosts for this thing,
I think you should
know
a little bit about us. Let's get to know each other. It's like a first date.
Absolutely. And if there's anything that we missed, find us on Instagram at Page to Stage Podcast.
And where can you find yourself on Instagram, like Mary?
On Instagram and Twitter, I am at the Mary Dina. Dina is spelled D-I-N-A because people actually always ask me that.
Really?
Yes.
It's another name.
I know. But I also get Dina, which...
When I first had you on social media when we met, I thought that was just like your middle name because a lot of people use their first and middle name.
Yeah, I get all throughout Facebook high school, names. People actually, continuously throughout my life, there have been people who have thought that Mary Dina is like my first name.
It's like a little stage name?
It's a little, no, yeah, I guess, sure.
And if you want to follow me on Instagram, you could find me at Brian Sedita, Brian with an I.
Simple, easy.
Simple.
Got to make sure people can find you.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to kick this off. So Brian said earlier, we both work in theater. So I'm going to ask Brian some questions about what he's doing. So Brian, I know that you went to Montclair State University. Ooh, I got my master's there. So got that in common.
And we didn't know that until after like months of knowing each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know what? I knew that you were there. I didn't know that we were there at the same time. Because I remember you did tell me that you got your master's at Montclair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in the acting program.
BFA acting program.
Woot woot.
Were you there for all 4 years?
I was there for all 4.5 years.
And a half years.
4.5 years.
All right, we're going to unpack that. So so I guess one, my first question for you. So were you from around that area? Did you go to school there? How did you find Montclair?
So Montclair State is like 5 minutes from where I grew up. I grew up in Totowa, New Jersey. And yeah, it was a very local school. I didn't have to move away. So I commuted to school every day. Mm. And a state school, state tuition prices, that was good. But also the program was really good. And so that was a really huge plus that I had a program that was really good, that was so close and affordable. And also it was so close to New York City. It's a 12-mile
radius really to close. New York City.
And honestly, I didn't want to move away from the city to go to school. Like, I didn't care if I had to move to New York City or anywhere in that radius that I'm used to, but I didn't want to move any further for school.
Yeah.
So.
So was the program, is it like a liberal arts program or is it a conservatory? Is that the word?
It's not a conservatory program, but it's moving in the direction that's more conservatory based. So it's not like we have, you know, acting and movement and voice 5 times a week, but we definitely have all those classes each semester for at least 6 semesters. It was a great program. There's a lot of opportunities to make your own work, and that's encouraged, and I did a lot of that, which was awesome because I'm really interested in directing as well. So I directed a bunch of student works.
So did you do any of the like summer stock?
I didn't do any summer stock in the classic summer stock definition that people think of when they hear those two words together, but I did a lot of shows on my breaks over the summer. Always tried to look for things to do over the summer to keep it going and put what I was learning in class to use. I did, a couple, I would look for films and stuff like that to do to build up my reel. And then this past summer, I decided to do an internship at Broadway Teachers Workshop, which is where you and I met.
Yes. Broadway Teachers Workshop is a professional development opportunity for theater educators and honestly, directors, choreographers, or anyone who's really in the business, honestly, because the workshops are educational for everybody. Yeah. It's not just geared towards theater education.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody that was still just on a college summer break, it was an awesome opportunity to fill my gap with something that was educational and hearing from people that are working in the business and
it's
doing
a great
their
way
thing
to network too. I've met so many amazing people, will be here on the podcast.
Yes,
I'm so excited to introduce them to you guys. I've been with them 4 or 5 years now.
Wow.
So I started off as an intern, and then maybe a year or two or 2 or 3 years after that, I switched to the freelancing part with them. So I do their social media and their photography for their workshops. So I do the student summit during the school year, teacher's workshop in the summer. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's how I met you.
Woo!
So thanks, Pam and Gordon.
Thanks.
So you mentioned you're interested in directing, and that's kind of where your focus is, would you say, right now?
I think that you can pursue both at the same time. I think that I'm primarily focusing on acting right now, but there's a lot of directing projects in my mind and things that I'm always thinking about, especially when I go to see shows and performances. My mind is always thinking like an actor and a director, which I think helps me in the rehearsal process for both.
That's really interesting because I get that And I've kind of had that because I wanted to be a director when I was in college. And even going through grad school, I kind of wanted to be a director. And sometimes I still think I could or I might be interested. But I find myself in that same thought.
Yeah.
But I think it's weird and not in a good way to have like the actor and the director side of your brain because they focus on two entirely different pieces of the puzzle.
They're two entirely different pieces of the puzzle. But when you're doing theater, you're all going for the same result in the end. I mean, like everybody has their own idea of what the result is, but like we want the show to work, mm-hmm. right?
You want to tell the story.
Yeah, we want to tell the story. And I think that as a director, actor, back and forth, I think that the acting portion helps when I'm directing because I know how I would want to be directed, how I would like to be spoken to by a director.
Mm-hmm. And so I know right now you're working in a casting office.
So I'm just finishing up working at a talent agency.
A talent agency, okay.
Yeah.
And so what piqued your interest there?
Well, yeah, so I'm interning there. One of my professors from Montclair reached out to me and said that his representation was looking for somebody to intern in the office during pilot season just to, you know, pilot season's a really busy time at an agent's office. So I thought it would be really nice and educational and hearing the other side of the business.
Yeah, I've always wanted to work in a casting office just to get that experience and know what it's like.
So it's not a casting office. It's the agents that send you into casting offices. So casting, I would love to work in a casting office.
Yeah.
You know, just like to intern at a casting office, because I think that that's another valuable thing. So like, I think the difference is...
So it's the representation.
Yeah. So these are agents that are trying to get their clients work, mm-hmm. right? But a casting office is actually working with the creative team. And maybe we will bring a casting director on this podcast to explain this better.
We definitely
And an
should.
Agent.
Yeah.
We could do that. But just really, really in short, the casting office, the casting directors that are casting the project. And so the actors go to audition for the casting directors. And then they're like, oh, we have this list. And then it's like, okay, here's this list. Directors, now you can see them in a callback or whatever, or on tape
and stuff like that.
So they're completely two different jobs, but both really important for the actor, for the
production,
for relationships, because mm-hmm. that's a lot about what this business is. And I think that that's a lot of what our guests are going to say this business is about. Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's what I'm, and I'm also working on a podcast.
Yeah, you are.
So Mary, let's hear about you. You're from Delaware.
Yes, I am.
And did you do theater throughout high school?
I did. I started actually, if you ask my parents, I started as a child doing some stuff.
I did too. I was at the ripe age of 6. My parents put me in community theater.
I'm going to say something that I'm probably going to regret later, but when I was like 4 or 5, you know, those old like, maybe not even old, those like dustpans that like you can stand up and like the stick, like it's like the, like...
Yeah,
it has like the stick. So that was like my height and I used to use that as a microphone, and I used to watch the 10th anniversary of Les Mis on VHS, dating myself probably, and belt my heart out to that Eponine song.
I still had VHSs when I was younger too. Don't worry.
Thanks. But yeah, so I started there. I then kind of like through middle school, I think I focused just more on singing, which is like really ironic because I definitely don't do that now.
You don't do any singing now?
No, not at all.
Oh my God.
I know.
So you went to undergrad in Delaware?
Yeah.
And what did you go for? What school?
So I applied and was accepted as a psych major, was going to do psychology and go like the therapist route.
I find that so interesting, but that's like the theater actor person in me. That's like psychology of a character and all that. I'm so interested in that.
I'm also very interested in knowing people's stories, and I am a very good listener. Not to like toot my own horn, but that's just something that I've just like learned about myself, and I just...
Well, we know you listen to so many podcasts.
Which I think is fitting now, because now I get to listen to our amazing guests tell their story and get to learn about them. And so, Yeah, so I quickly, I think before or even at my new student orientation, I actually was like, nope, I'm going to drop that major. And so I, without telling my parents, I became an English education major.
You're an adult. You're 18 by then. You don't to tell them.
You tell them that. So okay. So I became an English ed major. And for 3 years, I was an English ed major at the end of my junior year.
Junior year.
Right before I was about to start student teaching, I was like, I was watching my friends who were education majors at in different field, different areas, and they were so passionate about it. And I was not passionate.
Yeah.
I thought if I could be an English ed major, then I could get a degree in teaching and then teach theater. But I didn't want to teach theater. I worked in college as a director. I worked at a black box theater. I also taught classes for the kids there. I did a lot. I worked in their admin office. It was for a huge part of my life growing up. I had that piece of me that was interested in that, but I didn't want to make that my career of just teaching theater or just teaching, because it wasn't
going to be fulfilling for you.
And why? I mean, unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know. I went through
20 years old. You don't have to do anything for another 40 that you don't want to do.
Yeah. And also, I felt like if I went into something that I wasn't passionate about, especially with teaching, I was going to be a disservice to the kids.
Right. And also, it's like, you know, I'm sure we've all had those teachers that are at the end of their careers and are so jaded and have had their days. And it's like, they probably started out as really excited teachers that wanted to teach.
Yeah. I had a very adult conversation with both my parents where I was like, I'm dropping that part of my degree or my major. You know, I had to go home. I had to have a full conversation with them. And my dad, to this day, we still laugh about it, where he was like, you can't make a career out of this. Like, I don't understand.
Well, I was initially going to be a math major. Like, I actually put my deposit down at a school to go for math, like math education.
That sounds terrifying.
I
hate math.
I have kept math in my life. I'm a math tutor on the side for kids.
Oh, that's cool. I did not know that.
So I still keep math in my life, as everybody keeps math in their life, because math is everywhere.
I know, but that's now we have this thing on our phone where it's called a calculator that goes with you all the time.
I'm talking about algebra. Okay, maybe algebra is not there every day, but anyways, I digress.
And so I was, they were basically like, what is your plan? Like, you're about to graduate in a year.
Were you able
like,
to finish in 4 years? Or did you have to go a little longer?
Spoiler alert, yes.
Whoa, you beat me.
Well, here's why. So I basically was just dropping the education part of my major. And so in the English department, education was like a concentration, if you will. And then they also had other concentrations, so I switched to a drama. I was also a theater minor.
Convenient.
I should mention that I was a theater minor, so I was collecting credits of theater and English and education.
You knew the whole time.
I did. I think, yeah, I definitely
You know what? You when did you feel like you were inching towards that? Towards theater? What?
Towards theater? I mean, I think going into college, I think when I switched from psych to English ed.
Yeah.
Because I wanted, I think I knew my end goal was to teach theater at that time. And so then I just took the teaching part out of it and I just still had theater, you know?
Yeah. And so after college, did you go right to grad school?
Yes.
Wow.
So basically what I told my parents was, I'm going to grad school. I'm dropping this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to pursue theater in some capacity, probably directing, and I'm going to grad school. And they were like, okay. And it took a minute, but they've both come around and they're super supportive. And I went to Montclair State, moved up to North Jersey. I'd never lived
in
Jersey.
That's a big move.
Yeah.
Like, South Jersey is probably more like Delaware.
Yeah, it's like right.
I've
yeah,
never
it's
been
not too
to Delaware, but it's what I associate.
I mean,
it's any other part of like this area that's not like right outside of New York City.
Yeah,
because like when I tell people I'm from Jersey, they're like, "Oh, Jersey Shore, oh this, that, and the other." No, like North Jersey, right by New York City. So it's like we're practically in New York City, just very suburban.
Yeah, it was different, but also, there were a lot of similarities between my experience at the University of Delaware versus Montclair State. They're both state schools, but also they both had like the campus, but then real life around it. Versus, because I toured other places and I visited other places that it was like a bubble. And I didn't want that.
Yeah, totally. Like, if you're in a really small town, it's like,
yeah,
that's the city, is that university,
yeah,
it feels. Whereas Montclair, there's so much life around it. And like I said, there's a train station right on campus that brings you right to New York City.
It's very helpful. It was very helpful to get to the city, although it wasn't great on the weekend.
Well, right. But I never had to deal with that because I was from that area and I had a car.
Yeah, I didn't have a car. I did not have a car.
So then after you graduated Montclair.
After I graduated, I was at a loss. I did not know what I wanted to do. I was like, okay, so I wanted to direct up until that, but then I was doing a lot of arts admin work and I had experience before in college, but I didn't know like what to do. Like, I wasn't getting connections with directors. I didn't know what to do. And so I talked to my advisor.
That's like a little bit of how I feel in the directing sense as well. Cause like, at least for acting, I could go to auditions, right? Like, I can't audition to be your director.
Yeah.
So
it's a networking thing for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I applied to a few jobs, like arts admin jobs that interested me. I had also, between year one and two of grad school, I worked at Bucks County Playhouse in Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Woo.
Nice. And so it's beautiful. If you have not been, you have to go.
I have been. My high school used to do those.
The Student Theater Festival?
The Student Theater Festival,
that's so
where
cute.
We would prepare like a 30-minute truncated version of whatever show we were doing, the play and the musical. And then we would go down there on a field trip.
Oh, that's so cool. They still do that, by the way.
I know. My high school still goes.
I think they just celebrated their 50th anniversary last year, which is wild.
It's beautiful. We always loved that field trip because, like, that area is just so beautiful.
It's
beautiful. It was always, like, at the end of April or beginning of May.
Yeah, so it's, like,
it's really nice
things
weather.
Are blooming and the birds are chirping. It was honestly, it was amazing. And I loved the people there. And so when I graduated, I had reached out. At that point, I was like, maybe I'll be a company manager. Maybe I'll work in their management office. So I reached out to a person that I knew that still was there. And he was like, there's nothing in this office, but we have an opening in the development office, which, if you don't know, it's fundraising for nonprofit theaters, not creative development, which a lot of people thought that's what it was. And so I was like, I don't really want to write grants. I don't really have an interest in that. I don't think it's in my skills. And so my advisor was like, honestly, I wish I would have had experience in development, so
take it.
Consider it, at least. So I was like, okay. And so I was interviewing with a few places and ended up landing with that one, and I was there for 3 years, and I...
You must have enjoyed it.
I loved it. It was great. I learned a ton about development.
So what made you leave Bucks County and come up to the city and move up here full-time?
During my time in Bucks County, I was actually going back and forth because, like I said, I was freelancing with Broadway teaching
group. Yeah, you were crazy. You would wake up at what, like 3 in the morning, 4:30
in the morning? 4:30 in the morning, and I'd leave my house by like 5:30
and you'd
to drive to the train station.
By 9.
To get to New York by 9. A lot of times I was working.
I'm sure you listened to a lot of podcasts on that.
Oh, I did. and did that. Sometimes I was working 7 days a week, especially in the summer when they had their teacher's workshop and I was also working full-time at Bucks. They were great, and I was able to use vacation time and other time, like comp time, to go off and do that still. So Bucks was really great at being supportive.
Working with your schedule, that's great.
I decided to leave because ultimately development was not what I wanted to do with my life. I learned a great amount of skills and tips and just a different side of the business that I would have never received otherwise. So, like, we should definitely have someone out there on the podcast that's fundraising related. I was doing a lot of events for them, like fundraising events for Bucks, and I learned that I'm interested in producing. I worked very closely with the producing director, Alex Fraser, and I started to question whether or not, like, why did I like directing so much, and was it maybe I was interested in producing instead? And so I had a conversation with him and with a few other people, and events there were, for me, very similar to the idea of producing, because you're producing a whole event. You know, you're having to come up with the everything from like the details to like who's performing or who's the host and all that stuff, who's being invited and like how much are tickets or whatever. And so I started looking for jobs in New York because, one, I knew that it was time for New York, for me. I knew that I was eventually going to go back, and it just felt right. So I took that leap, and...
And where did you land?
I now work for Tony Award winner Ken Davenport. I am his events and social media and marketing and podcasts and all this stuff with him, and it's great and it's fun. I'm also learning a lot, which is amazing. I think that's something that's very important, is that if you feel like you've stopped learning,
yes,
it's time to, especially now in my late 20s.
Oh, late
20s. They're amazing, honestly. I highly recommend it. I think that you need to be challenged every day. Something needs to make you question something, anything. You need to be able to evaluate things and have a conversation with yourself, even. And I got to a point at Bucks where I wasn't doing that on a daily basis, maybe a weekly basis, but I needed to grow. And so, you know, I spent 3 years there and I did a lot of work and got a lot of, you know, support. And so you just move on. And now I'm being challenged and I'm receiving feedback and just growing, which is great.
Yeah.
So
it's totally a different ballgame than
what you're used to. Yeah. And also, it's so weird because nonprofit going to a for profit.
Oh, it's such County was nonprofit?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was fundraising.
Right.
So you fundraise for a nonprofit. yeah, that's I underestimated that switch in your brain for sure. At least on my end, working on the fundraising side, like I had to bring in, and I mean I, meaning the team,
mm-hmm.
had to bring in money, had to raise money. Yeah, so that's me. And also, wow. I freelance social media marketing. Yeah, sorry,
with Broadway Teachers Group.
Yeah, and for some other places, I've done some small gigs here and there. I'm consulting, if you will, for some friends for social media stuff and for some colleagues that I've met, people that I've met along the way. And I'm doing a podcast.
We are doing a podcast.
Yes, we are.
So now that you've met us, we hope that you would like to meet our guests.
You're going to love our guests.
Because they're so fun and exciting. And we've got some really cool people lined up for you guys. And they're just all really insightful people for what they're doing, and they're all at a different point in their career, which makes it so much more interesting for us because we're not getting the same conversation each time.
Yeah, but even if they were at the same level, because I've sat through panels and conversations before, and people who have been at the top, whatever that top is for you,
they always want something next, right?
Yeah, but their journey to that place is so different. That's for true. Every single yeah. person. And so the fact that we get to sit down with people who are at the beginning of their careers or who are seasoned and hear about what it's like and what their process is like as a stage manager or how they prepare as an actor or what's the first step as a director and et cetera, I think is, I'm very excited for
this. Yeah, because I mean, bottom line, if zero people listen to this podcast, if our mothers listen to this podcast only,
you know,
we're still doing it because we're learning as much as it is for other people to listen to as well. The excitement that we have is what's really important to us.
Yeah. And we're living the dream. We started a podcast. Come on.
Yeah. And there will be mistakes along the way, I'm sure.
Yeah, but also, it's like live theater.
Let me tell you guys, we have...
This is not live.
We have really gotten a crash course in audio.
Honestly, we need some sound designers up in here to talk to them because I have a lot of questions, but also I have a lot of respect for you guys. It's like, I think it's the one area in theater that is still
a lot of the tech positions. Like, I wouldn't know how to program a light board.
I took a lighting internship when I was in college with the professional theater on mm-hmm. campus, and it was terrifying. I was like, whoa,
because
this is
like
so
not
intense.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm not
for a future podcast.
We will learn with you.
We're coming at you every other week.
At least that's the initial goal, yeah. Is every other week. And who knows? Maybe there'll be bonus episodes and stuff like that.
Always
we don't
a bonus
know.
Episode.
This is kind of like a bonus episode.
Yeah. I would love to know what you guys...
Where your interests lie.
Want to know, yeah.
Because, like,
questions
we're interested in certain things and certain people, But I'd love to know what areas of the business you guys are interested in hearing about. And if there are certain questions that you may have, you could DM us at
Page Stage Podcast on Instagram. I would love to know, and I'm sure Brian would too, how many of you listening are in college and have questions about what it's like in the real world? Because I know when I was in college, I did. And honestly, even post-college, I still have those questions. Yeah. And sometimes now at 27, I'm like, how do we do this thing? So please ask us questions.
Yeah, you know. and feel free to like tell us what you are pursuing if you're in school.
Absolutely. If you have anyone that you'd like to recommend, you know, anyone in the industry, like we said, we're willing to talk to, and we'd love
or
to talk
from
to.
From like a particular show that you're that you're really interested in.
We love to talk to in any career, any field in the industry. So don't hold back. Send us your suggestions.
And if you are enjoying our podcast, if you enjoyed this first episode, if you could take a couple seconds to just rate and review us wherever you're listening to this podcast, we would really appreciate it. And if you could share it with your friends and family or anybody that you think would be interested in listening to these types of conversations with us.
Even strangers on the train.
The dogs.
Definitely the dogs.
Just the dogs. I was going to say your dog. I said the dogs. Anyways, thank you all for tuning into this first episode.
Thank you.
And we can't wait to bring you some really cool conversations with theater makers.
That's Brian.
That's Mary.
You've just listened to Page to Stage Podcast, the first episode. Woo! We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.